You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
You're listening to another UFC Buzz podcast for William Hill. I'm Gareth A. Davis here in London, and I'm joined this week by the one and only Jim Edwards, who's in Hamburg at UFC Hamburg. It's Fight Night 134, of course, UFC Fight Night 134. Jim, how are you? Hope things are good.
Yeah, very well. I just landed into Hamburg earlier today. Yeah, I guess we could say it isn't the most exciting fight card that we have to look forward to, but when you actually get into the depth of the card and look at it up and down, there are some really exciting fights that I think on paper look like they could really love like a touch paper on Sunday night. So it should be exciting. I'm looking forward to talking about it with you.
Yeah, well, there's always a lot of sleeper fights on these cards. Just a very quick one. I want to look back very quickly. At UFC Boise in Idaho last weekend. I just want to ask you one thing. Junior Dos Santos, a kind of shutout five-round decision against Blagov Ivanov. Are we seeing the revival, in your view, of Junior Dos Santos, obviously headlining that card? Because surely the heavyweight division now needs guys coming forward. We know that Brock Lesnar may fight Daniel Cormier, Stipe Miocic is wanting to get the title back. But did we see something in Dos Santos against Ivanov that you feel he's coming back?
It's a great question. I think it's somewhat hard to determine that from the opposition he was up against. Ivanov came in as World Series of Fighting, four runner. But when he looked at, when you looked at him in the octagon the other day, he looked very much second best against Junior Dos Santos, of course, a very accomplished former UFC heavyweight champion. I think you just have to bear in mind a few things. Dos Santos coming off a long layoff. Are we seeing a revival of Junior Dos Santos? I don't know. I think it's very hard to determine from that performance. He certainly could have maybe put a bit of a rubber stamp on it with a finish, but when you actually look across the fight, it was a total shutout for five rounds. So it was a solid but perhaps not spectacular performance from Junior. So I think his next fight, he could come up against someone like maybe a Derek Lewis or who knows, maybe they'll run the match and try and get that Francis Ngannou fight back on. But I think it'd be very, very interesting to see in his next fight. I wouldn't see him, like you were saying, now because the title picture is very busy, so I don't know if we're going to see him dive straight back into that anytime soon. But it was, as I said, solid but unspectacular. So maybe is my answer.
Very interesting stuff, Jim. I think he is. I think he will be back challenging soon. He could well be the guy who steps in if Brock Lesnar, on still serving a drugs ban, of course, doesn't get the nod against Daniel Cormier, probably January or February next year that fight will take place. So we move to Hamburg this weekend. I'm looking forward to this card very much. I was out there a long time ago in Hamburg when the event took place. It's the second time the UFC has been there. All kinds of problems, of course, putting events on in Germany. We're going to look at five fights on the main card, Jim, starting with the lightweight fight, Nasrat Hakparast against Mark Diakese. Of course, the odds with William Hill, 11-8 Hakparast, 4-7 Mark Diakese. He's a real talent for me. It's a good fight for him, this. Good opportunity to showcase early on in the main card. First fight, of course, on the main card. Diakese, of course, Jim, he's lost two in a row now against Closer, no shame there, and against Dan Hooker, Draka Closer and Dan Hooker. No shame there for me. And, of course, a huge quick rise in Bama title. Looked really good for three or four fights in the UFC, and now he's on two losses. He really needs a win. He is a dynamic fighter, a Titan fighter, London Shoot Fighters He really needs one of those dynamic performances here in Hamburg to get himself back on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, for sure. I was actually just speaking with Mark only a few minutes ago. He seems to be very relaxed for a man, like you say, coming in off two losses. But when you actually reflect back on the opposition, Drakkar Klose and Dan Booker, they've now, both of them back at UFC 226 a few weeks ago, kind of emerged as real rising talents in that kind of lightweight division. So as you say, no shame there, but it really is time for Mark to get back into form. No one likes to go three losses in a row in the UFC. That kind of normally will spell the end of, I guess, their tenure. But I'm not even too sure that would actually happen to Mark Kikaze. He's such a talent, he's such an exciting fighter to watch, very dynamic, very innovative with his striking techniques. He's coming up against Nasrat this weekend. On Sunday, Nasrat, when you go and, you know, a lot of people say a lot of very good things about him, but when you actually go through his record and you actually look at the way he built up that 8-0 record, you'll see that his strongest win came against a guy that was 8-5. Lots of guys that were making their professional debuts before previously, and he's really like Mark in a bit of dire straits, I guess, with his UFC career at the moment. Are we going to see a tentative fight because both guys know what's kind of on the line on Sunday? Possibly. I tend to side with Dear Casey, though. It's very easy to say that given the British connections, but I've just seen a high level of performance from Dear Casey across the years, so I'm going to go with Dear Casey on this one.
Yeah, me too. This is MMA. Anyone can win, but I'm going with Dear Casey as well. Moving on to welterweight, Danny Roberts against David Zawada. The odds with William Hill, 1-4 Danny Roberts, and David Zawada, 3-1. Now, Danny Roberts, one of those guys for me who is potentially a huge star. Doesn't matter whether he wins or loses. Of course, he lost to Nordine Taleb and Mike Perry in the UFC, but looked great in March in London. Great physique, great fighter. You know, he's got great boxing, of course. We know that. He had a professional boxing career, hot chocolate. I think he's very marketable. In here, of course, against a guy in David Zawada who will give him some problems. But I've got Roberts running through this and looking spectacular with his hands and feet in this fight.
Yeah, I think Danny has certainly bounced back well from the two losses he's actually had, not only just in the UFC, but in his career, coming back from that defeat against Mike Patton and Perry, and then Nordine Taylor. I think if Zawada wasn't coming in off just a week's notice, I think this would be a harder task for him, and I think it'd be much more of an even fight. I've watched Zawada plenty of his performances of late on KSW. He's a very gritty, you literally have to kill this guy to get him out of the fight. I just saw him in his last fight, I believe it was KSW 43, completely turn around a 1.5 round beating where he was nearly finished multiple times, to actually come back very strongly and actually finish the fight by rear naked choke. It's an incredibly impressive show of heart and determination. He could hang around for longer than we think, I guess, this weekend with Danny Roberts. It could be a lot more competitive than we perhaps think of a guy coming in off just a week's notice, but it's very hard to pick against the guy who's been in camp the whole time, Danny Roberts. And, you know, we know how talented Danny Roberts is, and we know if he plays up to anything like his potential on Sunday, I can see him winning this fight, and perhaps quite handily, who knows.
I agree with you. I do really agree with you, and I think that kind of week's notice is the key here. Look, moving on to the heavyweights, Marcin Tybura, Stefan Struve, both coming off two losses, of course. Very important fight for both men. The odds with William Hill on this heavyweight bout, I don't mind saying I'm a big favourite. I'm a big fan, and he's always a favourite for me, Stefan Struve. 19-10 with William Hill. Marcin Tybura, 2-5 with the betting agents. This is an interesting fight for me. Tybura is the kind of guy who, you know, he gets the job done brilliantly sometimes. He's very well schooled in the Jackson Wink camp. He can look really good. That win against Andrei Arlovski, well, it's kind of, what is it, a year ago now, but two losses since to Fabricio Werdum and Derek Lewis. No shame there, of course. And Stefan Struve, well, perennially one of the potential great young heavyweights, no longer a great young heavyweight, and really needing to put a series of wins together. Of course, he's on a two-fight losing streak, Alexander Volkov, and then, of course, Andrei Arlovski. Both men need a win because the heavyweight division needs contenders. I tend to favour Stefan Struve in this, but he often lets me down. I'm still going for him in this fight, though. How about you?
I'm going to pick opposite you. I think I've seen too many times Stefan Struve where you think he comes into the bout. He has all the physical attributes to dominate anyone in his division, but he's just never really truly learned how to use that size that he has. It's such an incredible advantage, but he's never shown us that that he can really take full advantage of that. And like you were saying, Tybura is solid, he's gritty, he knows how to wear a guy down and get on the inside and make it a dirty, sometimes boring, stalling fight. And I can kind of see him wearing Stefan down on Sunday. And you know, this is heavyweight mixed martial arts, anything can happen. But when I just weigh up whether I want to go for the mercurial kind of more potluck chance that I associate with Stefan Struve against more of a determined and I guess steady is the word, warmer in Martin Tybura, I would be more happy to place my money on Tybura there to win by
No one's arguing with you, Jim. You're entitled to do so. We're moving on to the light heavyweight bouts, the co-main. Glover Teixeira, 4-7 with William Hill against Corey Anderson, 11-8. Corey Anderson, obviously, always improving, always looking good. A good victory for him over Patrick Cummings last time out after two losses against Jimmy Manua and Ovince St. Preux. Mauricio Shogun Hua, who we'll talk about in a minute, of course, also defeated him. I think he struggles against heavy-handed guys, and I just wonder whether Glover Teixeira, if he brings it properly, he's slowing, he's balding, he's aging, and he's still crippling with those hands when they land. Corey Anderson can be very dynamic in his moments. 28 years old. Glover Teixeira now, of course, is fast approaching 40, 38, 39 in October. Is the old man going to do it again? You know, look, he's win-loss. He seems to not be able to beat the top contenders anymore, but he beats the other guys. He loses to Anthony Johnson, to Alexander Gustafsson. This is a really hard fight to call for me, but I'm going to go, even though I've kind of bounced around in my assessment, I'm going for Corey Anderson to do a number on Glover Teixeira, as long as he is mentally right in this fight.
Wow, there you go. So I'm actually going to pick opposite you again here. Again, another guy coming in on short note, relatively short notice here with the Ilya Latifi pulling out originally. Corey Anderson, I've seen him fight many, many a time. He's never shown to me. It's very much Tybura in the way that he's very efficient. He's good at kind of lasting longer than his opponents, point scoring. He just doesn't seem to have the X factor that I believe that I've seen Glover Teixeira showcase on many an occasion. The only watch out for me, I guess, is you know, Teixeira's performance against Gustafsson back in last year in May, where we saw a high caliber fighter in Gustafsson take Teixeira apart, dish out a lot of damage. So, like you were saying there, he's an old man now. How is his chin wearing? And can Corey Anderson take advantage of that? Again, though, Corson's another guy who suffered a devastating knockout of late. If you remember, Ovince St. Preux sent him to the land of unconsciousness back at Madison Square Garden last November. So I'm interested to see how Corey Anderson's recovered from that. If I have to pick one, though, I'm going to go with Teixeira. I think he's going to win by a knockout.
I love it. We're not agreeing today, and I love that. Listen, let's move on to the main event now. William Hill have Anthony Smith 2-5, Mauricio Shogun Hua, the legend, 19-10 in this 5-round fight. This is a real fun fight for me. Both incredibly experienced. I think between them, there is something like 80 fights, just below 80 fights as professionals in mixed martial arts. Shogun has been on a 3-fight win streak since November 2014. Once a year, he beats Antonio Rogério Nogueira. He beats Corey Anderson, of course. He beats Jean Vellante last year. He's out for his annual scrap. Headlining, of course. Listen, Daniel Cormier wants to fight him for the light heavyweight belt, remember? So if he wins this fight, he might well get a light heavyweight fight before Cormier defends the heavyweight belt. There's a lot on the line for him. I'll repeat, the odds with William Hill, he is 19-10 to win this fight, with Anthony Smith 2-5. Do you know what? I've gone back and forth on this, Jim, a few times, because when Shogun gets his motors going, he's as dangerous as anyone. But Smith can submit, he can strike, he can stun, he can knock out. It's a really difficult one for me. Shogun, 36 now. Anthony Smith, 29. I might just go with the younger man, but the Philip is there for Shogun to win, to have that lineup and that fight with DC for the light heavyweight belt. Do you know what? I'm going to go with romance, and I'm going with Shogun to win this by devastating knockout in the third round. Beat that, my man.
Wow. Wow, that would be a turn of events, wouldn't it? It really would. And God bless Daniel Cormier for putting a bit of meat on this fight on Sunday. It's he really, earlier in the week, he put that kind of statement that he would be willing to fight Shogun should he win. He really did kind of raise the stakes there, and I love it. I love it a lot. Another, how many times have I said this thing? Three fights in a row now. Another late, last-minute replacement coming in for a bout on foreign soil. These are the things that you don't normally like to kind of mess with. But in Anthony Smith, we've got someone very different. I think he is an up-and-coming talent. He looks to not be fazed by coming in and fighting on foreign soil. And I don't think, as he showcased in his last bout with Rashad Evans, I don't think he's afraid of taking on the biggest names, I guess, in the kind of division or the legend status. So I'm actually going to go for the Lionheart here. I feel he's going to come into Hamburg, make a big statement. He could, if it's devastating enough, retire his second legend in a row. The legend killer, we might call him, not the Lionheart. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go with the opposite from you. I'm actually going to go with a Anthony Smith second round finish.
Wow. Wow, amazing. So I'm going third round. You're going second round. And Jim's just broken the story today that the UFC TV rights deal in the UK, and I want to give you props for this, and Ireland set to move to 11 Sports. That's the company 11 Sports in 2019. This is Jim's story on MMA NYTT this morning. The UK and Irish TV rights for the UFC look to be on the move at the end of the year. The UFC TV rights in the UK and Ireland currently sit with BT Sport after 2.5-year renewal deal with the network was signed back in 2016. But it looks like next year they could be going to 11 Sports. Great work by you, Jim. Great to have you on the podcast today. Always a pleasure.
I appreciate it, Gareth. Thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to the fights on Sunday.
And we all are. Listen to all the fights, watch all the fights, listen to the commentary, join Twitter, Instagram, video, Facebook, live, all those things, people. Enjoy the fights on Sunday night like we enjoy you taking part. It's a great time for Fight Sports. You've been listening to the UFC Buzz podcast for William Hill. I'm Gareth A. Davis. See you next time.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.